This morning our sermon text is from Mark chapter 5, beginning in verse 21, continuing to verse 34. This passage is printed for you on the back of your order of worship if you'd like to read along or refer to it there. Beloved, God's word is more precious than gold, more precious even than much fine gold. Beloved, God's word is sweeter than honey, sweeter even than the dripping of the honeycomb. I invite you to listen to God's word now. And when Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered about him, and he was beside the sea. Then came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and seeing him, he fell at his feet and implored Jesus earnestly, saying, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, so that she may be made well and live." And Jesus went with him. And a great crowd followed him and thronged about him. And there was a woman who had had a discharge of blood for 12 years, and who had suffered much under many physicians, and had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard the reports about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, "If I touch even his garments, I will be made well." And immediately the flow of blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the disease. And Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone out from him, immediately turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my garments?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing around you, and yet you say, 'Who touched me?'" And Jesus looked around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." Thus far, the reading of God's word, it is absolutely true. And it is given to you because your Father in heaven loves you. Let's pray. Father, open now the words of my mouth and the thoughts and reflections of our hearts today as we gather to hear your word. May they, Father, be pleasing, acceptable in your sight, both our words and our thoughts as we ponder your word. We ask this through Jesus Christ, your Son, and our rock and redeemer. Amen. The woman in our passage this morning here in Mark 5, she wanted to be healed. That is clear. Jesus was distracted, as we just read, on his way to heal an important man's daughter, although, as it turns out, he would actually raise her from the dead. There are a lot of people with him. The crowds are pressing around him as they usually were, all going along to see what would happen at Jairus' house. And so the woman in our passage puts her head down and she sort of worms her way through the press of bodies closer and closer because she's thinking and saying to herself, as Mark tells us, "If I touch even his garments, I will be made well." The faith of this woman is remarkable. She's single-minded. She is intentional. She believes and trusts and even demonstrates that trust through her actions that just touching the garment of Jesus will make her well. Now, it's taken her a while to get to this place of perseverance and pushing through and this desire that she's pursuing at all costs. It's taken 12 years, in fact, we're told. For 12 years, she's had a discharge of blood, which means for 12 years, she has been ritually unclean. This wasn't a statement about her sinfulness or her holiness. It was a statement about her impurity, according to the ritual laws of Israel that God had given in Leviticus 15. She was ritually impure, and so cut off from the feasts and sacrifices of God's people. And not only that, for 12 years, as we read in Leviticus, she was also spreading that impurity to everyone around her. Everything she touched became unclean, and people who touched those things then became unclean also. The Levitical law spells it out, as we heard this morning. You can imagine what the life of this woman must have been like. For years, Mark tells us, she had sought the help of doctors. In fact, she had spent all of her money trying to solve this malady, this affliction, and none of it had helped her get better. In fact, she was only getting worse. I think we can surmise that it's likely that one by one over those 12 years, her friends would have drifted away, would have distanced themselves from her, being tired of her time, of the bother that she constantly caused them by making them unclean. And probably beginning to wonder, why wasn't God doing something about this? It often is the case with folks who are unwell. When this woman comes to Jesus in the crowd, she is alone. That much is clear. There's no husband. There's no siblings. There's no friends to help her. Remember the story of the paralyzed man who's brought by his friends to Jesus where he's teaching. That's not this woman's situation. She's by herself. And probably that was because she was known by this point as the woman who was always unclean, always impure. There's shame associated with that for her. It wasn't private shame, it was public. This woman, her acquaintances and friends and neighbors would have known that she was not permitted, like others, to enter the temple courts, to go to the local synagogue, even the holy city of Jerusalem. She was prohibited. You can imagine how living out her years alone, mostly hidden away, alone in her shame and suffering, must have afflicted her, cut off from the life of God's people in so many ways. And then one day she hears that Jesus has come close. Jesus has come to her town. The same Jesus that she has heard about, who heals the diseased, who casts out the demons, who makes the lame to walk, who speaks so clearly about the kingdom of God coming near. And so she comes. That's so significant to see here. She doesn't despair. She doesn't stay home. She doesn't just say, if God wants to save me, he'll save me. No, she comes to where Jesus is. She's searching for the one whose touch, whose mere physical presence she believes will make her well. And there she is, worming closer and closer, slipping in between the men, right? The disciples who are trying to, keep a little buffer around Jesus, between him and the crowds, until finally she's close enough to touch his garment. Then she feels it, right? It's remarkable how Mark describes it. He says, immediately as she touched his garment, she felt the blood dry up and that her body had changed and that she was well. Mark doesn't tell us exactly what the woman does next after this moment, but this remarkable moment, right? This life-changing moment in her life where she feels her body being healed, the blood drying up and stopping. Mark doesn't tell us what she does exactly, but I think we can imagine. Surely she touched Jesus, realized what had happened in a moment, and then turns away, slips back into the crowd, down an alley, going to try to wrap her mind around what has just taken place. It's a remarkable story so far, but then it gets kind of odd. Because then, before she can slip far away, Jesus stops immediately, Mark tells us. He whirls around, right? He looks behind him, and he says, loud enough to be heard over the hubbub of the crowd around him, he says, "Who touched my garments? Who touched me?" The disciples make this kind of sort of sarcastic comment about the foolishness of the question, given the situation with all the bodies around him. But Jesus is undeterred in that moment. He wants to know. He stands there in the street looking around for the one who touched him. It's significant, right? He's going to the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader, to heal his daughter. His daughter's very unwell, and yet Jesus stops the whole thing and says, "Who touched me?" I think this moment is the most fascinating of all the moments in the story. We expect Jesus to heal people, right? We read about that many times in the Gospels. We expect him to make them well. That's not surprising. But it's the other things that he does so often that we don't expect. For example, as we saw several weeks ago in the beginning of Mark 5, we don't expect that when Jesus heals a man possessed by demons and the man wants to follow after Jesus, we don't expect Jesus to say, "No, you can't come with me." We don't expect Jesus to tell the rich, young, pious, spiritual man to sell everything he has. We don't expect those who want to sit next to Jesus in the resurrection, surely that's a good desire, to be told, "Well, you're going to suffer, but I'm not going to make you any promises." And we don't expect Jesus to make a scene. That's what he's doing here. He's making a scene in the middle of a crowd in order to publicly call out a poor woman who has suffered enough, right? For 12 years. But that's what Jesus does. I mean, he knows what's happened. He knows where this story is going. And yet he stops everything to say, "Who touched me?" Why does he do that? Why does he demand to know who touched him in this public way? I think he does it because he knows that this woman needs more than what she has received so far. She needs more than to be healed of her immediate affliction of the flow of blood in her body. She needs actually to be made whole. She needs to be fully restored. She needs to be known by the one who healed her and loves her, and to receive from him, her healer, a new name. You see, this woman came to Jesus for a little healing, but she gets much more than she counted on or she bargained for or she expected. And it's going to be a little painful, at least at first. Here's what I mean. Jesus is standing there looking around at the crowd, waiting for the person who touched him to identify themselves. And Mark tells us then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in joy, excitement? No. Came in fear and trembling, Mark says, and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. The woman was afraid. She was trembling to do this, what Jesus was asking her to do. But she comes and she falls before him and she tells him the whole truth. The whole truth, Mark says. She tells him all of it, right? All of it comes out, just sort of messy. The 12 years of suffering, the ritual impurity she could not get rid of, the money she had spent on doctors, the impoverishment she felt, the desperation and loneliness and fear that had driven her to do what she had done. She told him the whole truth, Mark says. It came out not only in front of Jesus, but in front of everyone. All these people who had stopped because Jesus had stopped and were watching what he was doing and the conversation he was having. And many of these people would have known that, oh, this is the woman who was unclean for the last 12 years, the woman who had the discharge of blood, the woman who couldn't be fixed. Do you see what Jesus is doing here? It's significant. He's exposing her. Yes, that's what he's doing. And I'm sure it's painful. That's why she was full of fear and trembling. She wasn't really excited about this thing that he was asking her to do. It's difficult to tell everything, to tell the whole truth, to name everything in front of everyone. But Jesus, it's important to see, is also exposing himself. Here's what I mean by that. You see, right now at this moment, even though her bleeding had stopped and her body had been healed, this woman is still unclean. And now, since Jesus has just forced her to tell everyone that she is the one who touched him, he has now, they know, entered into her uncleanness as well. She has actually made him, they believe, unclean also. Leviticus is very clear. After you're cleansed from your discharge, then you have to wait 7 days, and then you become clean. Now, Jesus could have just let her go. He could have just let her slip off into the crowd and go through the process. She could have waited 7 days and presented the turtle dove to the priest and received the sacrifice and be declared clean. No one would have known that she had touched Jesus. But Jesus stops her. He calls her out in front of everyone, all those around who are watching. And in front of them, he steps into her uncleanness. Do you see that? That's what Jesus is doing. He's identifying himself as unclean because of their contact, because of her touching him. By calling this woman out, Jesus is not humiliating her. He is exposing her, yes. He is calling her to account, yes. He is commanding her to do something she doesn't want to do, yes. But he is humbling himself by going through all this. He is standing before the whole crowd and identifying himself as unclean. It's remarkable what Jesus does here. It's a remarkable picture of the gospel, the way in which Jesus identifies himself with us in our sin and death in order to make us clean. Now, what happens next is even more remarkable. Remember, the crowds are watching, they're thinking, they're processing all of what I've just been talking about. And then Jesus looks this woman in the eyes as she looks up to him from the ground. He says, Daughter, your faith has made you well. He's saying this not just to her, but to all the onlookers, all the ones with the opinions, all the ones who are thinking whatever it is they're thinking. He says, Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease. Daughter. He calls her daughter. This woman who he's never met, who's not related to him, who's just publicly identified herself as the unclean woman. This woman, Jesus looks in the eye before all the people. She's been probably abandoned and neglected by all of those around her, and he calls her daughter. This is the only time in all of Mark's gospel that Jesus calls anyone daughter. It is a moment of almost unimaginable tenderness and intimacy, especially considering that it happens in front of hundreds of people. And Jesus doesn't only call her daughter. He commends her faith. He says, your faith has made you well. He praises her. He names her, then he praises her. And then he gives her his blessing. He says, go in peace and be healed. He gives this public declaration that this woman has been made well, that she is not the woman that they knew before. She is now someone closely, intimately related to him. She is someone whose faith is commendable and an example to others. She is someone who has the peace of God resting upon her, and she is healed. You see, what Jesus is doing is drawing this woman into the public eye so that he can break permanently the power of shame in her life in a way that is far more powerful than if this woman had just slipped away into the crowd after she was healed. This woman wanted to be made well in secret, sort of a little anonymous healing, right? And Jesus pulls her out of the hiddenness. He pulls her out to be exposed before others. This woman wanted a little bit of healing on her own terms, but Jesus is giving her open heart surgery in front of everybody. That's what's happening. And I don't doubt that it was painful, at least at first. She comes with fear and trembling, but she goes away with his blessing and a new name and his commendation of her faith and his praise and his blessing and his declaration that she is made well. I suspect in the end she was glad that Jesus had called her out and brought her before him, even though she was afraid at first. As we close this morning, beloved, here's what I want you to take from this story. I don't know how much Jesus you want in your life today. How much Jesus do you want? It's good. I think most of us struggle at times, though, in terms of how much we want. Maybe enough to keep our kids happy and successful and well-adjusted and get good grades, enough to keep our marriages peaceful, enough to help us get through the days with just enough spiritual vitality to feel okay about ourselves, enough to keep guilt and shame away from us. But, you know, we'll just have that much, Jesus. But friends, this is the deal. If there's one thing, rather, the Gospels make clear again and again and again in 100 different ways, it's this. You cannot just have a little bit of Jesus. It's not how it works. You cannot just have enough Jesus to fix the things that you think need to be fixed in your life, that in your infinite wisdom you think need to improve. That's not how Jesus works. You just can't have a little bit of him to apply over here, over there. That's not how he does business. It's all or nothing when Jesus comes into your life. If you give your Lord Jesus Christ an inch, he will take a mile, I promise you. If you crack open the door, he will kick it down. And once Jesus is in your life, you don't have any idea really what he will do. This woman did not know. She wanted a little bit of anonymous healing. She got something way more than what she bargained for. And the same is true for you. You don't know what Jesus will start rearranging. You don't know what he'll start tearing down. You don't know what he'll ask you to give up or what obedience to his law he will require. You don't know what dark valley he will take you down. You don't know. Because once Jesus is in your life, all bets are off. Your guess is as good as mine regarding exactly where he's going to take you. But the good news is this, friends. If Jesus comes into your life this way, it will be better than anything you can presently imagine for yourself in terms of the fixing that you think you need or the progress you think your life requires or the healing that you believe you want. When Jesus finishes his surgery with you, you will be healed in ways you didn't even know you were sick. In fact, that might be the most significant ways that he will heal you, in ways that you're not even aware that you need his healing. Your life will not be what you expect. You will not probably get the things that you thought you wanted in the first place, but you will get something that's far better. You'll get Jesus. That's what you'll get. And not just a little bit of Jesus, you'll get all of Jesus. Jesus will be there with you. Jesus will be with you in your shame, in your uncleanness. He will look you in the eye and give you a new name. He will call you son. He will call you daughter. He will commend your faith before his Father in heaven. He will give you his blessing and his peace. He will declare you to have been made well. That's the deal, friends. You can't just have a little Jesus. He doesn't allow it. He will take everything from you, but in return, he gives you himself. These are the stakes. That is the exchange. If you come to your Lord Jesus Christ for healing, you do not know what will happen next, but you can trust that he is up to something good. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this passage. Thank you for this woman and for her faith, her example for us, Father. Thank you for the way that this story reveals the heart of your Son to not only give us what we ask for, but for far more than we could imagine in terms of the healing that he promises to us. I pray it in Christ's name. Amen.